into this morning's message, starting maybe a two-part series. I'm not quite sure how far it's going to go as we get closer to Christmas, but I've been really talking a lot the last few weeks about the promises of God. Especially Wednesday night, we've been really provoking everyone. As we're coming into this new year, annually, we do a 21-day fast. And this is something that me as your pastor and something personally as just a child of God, I take the 21-day fast so seriously. And I just want to challenge you with this fast. And it doesn't have to be a no-food fast. It could be whatever the Lord prompts in your heart. Sometimes people do, like I sometimes will do a full no-food for 7 days, or I'll do a Daniel fast and add change it as it goes along. But I take that 21 days to really get serious with God. And I get my notebook out, and I write down the things that I'm believing God for in this year. And really getting my vision out there, and really putting God out there, my faith out there, for God to meet some of my desires. And I really want to encourage you, as we go into this new year, to do that. And maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've never taken a journal and writing down your heart's desires. And I just encourage you to do that, because God is in the business of fulfilling His promises. He's in the business of fulfilling your heart's desires. But if we don't even know what we want from the Lord, how can the Lord deliver it to us? Amen. If we don't even know what we're looking for, or even how to receive the promises of God, then we can walk on earth and just go be with Jesus and never see our desires fulfilled. But I know that God wants to fulfill your desires. So there's some of you here this morning, or who's watching or will watch it in the future, that God wants you to awaken your promises again. What has the Lord spoken to you over the years? And maybe there's a promise that's been on the back burner for a long time. Is there anybody sitting here this morning that has a promise that is yet unfulfilled that God spoke? Every one of us. And maybe there's some new promises that are just a few years old, but I want to encourage you, what does the Lord want for you today? Let's hear from the Lord today. What are your dreams? What are your desires? What do you want changed in your life? How many want to wake up maybe a year from now and not be where you're at today? Amen? It's time to get off this merry-go-round life that just keeps depicting how our life's going to be and say, I want something different from God. I want my dreams and desires fulfilled. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to give you just, I think, 5 or 6 points and how to respond to the promises of God. Because the Bible says that the promises of God, they are yes, and they are amen. So the word of God is full of so many precious promises that the Bible says they don't return void into our life. But why aren't we walking in those promises? Why am I not seeing the manifestation of the word of God in my life? I want to provoke you in this series to get you excited, to stir up God on the inside of you and say, I want some change in my life. I want some promises fulfilled. I want the dreams of maybe my youth to come to pass. I don't know what your dreams and desires are, but God does. And God wants to awaken them on the inside of you. I think we're living in a season on earth where the world has never felt more hopeless. And the world has never felt more empty. I've never seen suicide rate as high. And you all are on social media, you know. Suicide from little 9-year-olds hanging themselves in their garages. In their bedrooms, to successful, wealthy people who have no hope in life. And yet we've got Jesus, the Creator, the Holy Spirit, dwelling here on earth in our life. And as Christians, we have found ourselves hopeless. And we have found ourselves in places where we wonder, is God ever going to do anything in my life? And I want God to stir you up and excite you. I want you to get promise-focused. I want you to begin to look at the promises of God. Whatever you want changed in your life, you have to get the word of God and make it the counteractive force in your life. Amen? And we're going to share some of those things this morning, but I want you to dream big this year. I promise you, if you'll dream big, God will meet you at your faith. You know? And I'm not saying go like ridiculous. Like if you live in a cute apartment, don't say I want a $1 million mansion by 2019. Like let's be realistic here, right? Set some goals that are attainable this year though. Set some desires that you really want from the Lord. Maybe it's a 2-bedroom apartment and you want a 3-bedroom apartment. I don't know what it is, but work towards your desires. Amen. If you get it out there, God will meet you at your faith. But it's time to stir it up. Amen. It's time to dream again. I remember, and I've said this a few times, but last year I had my journal and I got a cup of coffee and I just sat down. I just began to write, number one, I would love this God. Number two, I would love this God. Number three, and I just began, I had to kind of sit and scratch a little bit because I don't even know what my desires are. Because you know why? We live for so many people. We live for our kids, and we live to make our household okay, and we live, and we don't even realize what I desire. It's time to stop and think, what do you want from the Lord? Let's see the target, and let's aim at it this year. Let's say, I want that in the name of Jesus, amen? Begin to put your target out there so that you can meet some kind of goal this year. And I wrote down, I mean, I just started, I'm like, wow, that'd be cool. I wrote that down. This would be cool. I get, throughout the end of the year, I promise. You, I begin to check off. I went through it occasionally. Whoa, God did that. Check. No joke. Whoa, God did that. I went through everything I realistically desired from the Lord, and God met every one of those desires this year. Well, there's one he hasn't met yet, but me and Jesus talk about that all the time. Must be a pretty big one is all I got to say. Pretty amazing one. And I thought to myself, well, why didn't I dream a little bit bigger? Why did I put my life in this little bitty box of how I feel about me or what I think God is capable of? Let's get out of the box this year. Let's get those promises really big in the Word of God and say, I am worthy of the promise of God. I am worthy of the blessings of God. And this year, I'm going to have some bulldog faith, and I'm not going to let go. I'm going to put my teeth down and believe God for the blessings in my life. Amen? So let's talk about number one. How do we respond to God's promises? Number one this morning, you have to realize that God chose you for the promise. God chose you. If God spoke something to your heart, the Bible says that God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So if God gave you the desire, that means he chose you to fulfill it. He chose you to walk in it. And yet we eliminate ourselves from the blessings of God because we don't feel like we're worthy. We don't feel like we're spiritual enough. We don't feel like we deserve it. And so we let the blessings or the promises of God pass us by, and we wonder where God is at because you don't really feel like God chose you. But if God spoke it to you, that means God says, I'm going to give it to you. And you need to reach out and say, I ain't letting that blessing go. I ain't letting that promise go. I'm going to reach out by faith and receive what God has for me. How many of you have heard of the great evangelist, Catherine Kuhlman? Just powerful woman of God, and had a move of God in the supernatural and signs and wonders and people being saved. And she wrote an autobiography, and she said that she never believed that she was the first chosen for that calling. She said, I believe that God called someone else who did not receive what God said they could do. And then this woman reached out, and God knocked on her door and found a woman that would say yes to the promise, yes against insecurities and fears, and said, I will do what you called me to do, God. I don't want to go to heaven one day, and not that it's a sin and we're going to be punished, but I don't want God to visit me and say, but I had that promise for you, and you let it pass you by, and I gave it to somebody else. I don't want to knock on heaven's door and know that you mean I could have lived a life fulfilled here on earth, living the life super abundantly what the word says, and I didn't feel like I was worthy enough of what God said could come into my life, what God said I should be, who I should be, where I should go, and what I should do. See, we limit ourselves and we feel insecure and incapable, but you have to know, yes, God chose you. You have to know you're worthy. I remember when I went into ministry, I was 20 years old, just like a little on fire, thinking I know it all for Jesus, 20-year-old. Had a lot of growing up to do. And I used to run everything in the church, and I ran the children's ministry, and I loved my children's ministry. I ran it for probably 6 or 7 years. And we would teach them worship, and they became little ushers and little greeters. You remember that? And they used to we taught them how to lay hands on people, and they would speak healing. Ushers would come in, and the kids would lay hands and pray over the ushers and prophesy. Grown men weeping in the presence of these children. I love children. I was called to children's ministry. And then one day, God called me to teenagers. Anybody got teenagers in the house? I thought, they don't like me, and I don't like them. That is never going to work. It's a very long story, but I was so intimidated. You know, I went back there and I had to preach one service for my dad who cast this huge vision of youth ministry. And I'm like, I'm a children's worker. I like them when they're little and they don't talk back and they don't have these attitudes. You know, it's about 13. They like flip a script. It's like, who are you? Like, you used to be this cute little sweet kid and now you're just ornery, you know? Every birthday, 13, the sweetest kid just all of a sudden changed. And I went back to the youth ministry, and God just put these kids in my heart. And I thought, there's no way that I could do anything with teenagers. I don't understand teenagers. I don't get teenagers. But guess what? God chose me. God chose an insecure single woman to go into a group of teenagers that I didn't like and they didn't like me to fulfill the call of God in my life. And you know what? It became the greatest part of my ministry. I took over that youth ministry, and we went from probably 12 kids to over 300 within the first couple months. I mean, revival broke out in Wisconsin in the cornfields, everybody, with cows and corn. But God reached a generation because God knocked on a door of a girl who would say yes to God, say yes to fulfill his plans. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel deserving. I didn't even want to do it. But I said, yes. See, God wants to knock on the, and he knew it would be the desires of my heart, and I loved it. And now I'm running a church as a single woman pastor, and I love it. These are things that I never dreamed I would do, but I had to realize God chose Barb. God chose me. Not that I'm anything special, but I'm a willing vessel to allow his will to be fulfilled through my life. What is in your life that God wants to flow through? What does God want you to do in your life? Maybe it's to write a children's book or to write a worship song that angels are singing in heaven right now. Whatever that purpose is, maybe it's a great marriage or to be a great parent. Whatever your desires are, God chose you for it, and he equipped you to do that. Amen? I want to open up really quick to Acts 13, verse 22. Listen, I'm a living example of saying yes to God's promises when I couldn't see them. Yes to God's promises when I didn't feel worthy. I remember when my dad, you know, called me in for coffee and said, we want you to take over the church. I was scared to death. I didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel like I measured up to the choosing of God in my life. And I remember walking in this sanctuary a year ago, and I threw my hands in the air, and I said, you know what, God, it is your church. It is your, unless you build the church, I just want to get out of the way. Holy Spirit, have your way and let your will be done. And God has done something so special this year at this church. Has done it for many years, but just even under my tenure, God has done something special. Why? Because I had to realize God chose me. And no matter how I feel, no matter how you feel, whether you don't feel spiritual enough or you don't feel worthy enough, none of that matters to God. There's a big promise over your life, and God is saying, reach out and receive it. Quit worrying about your qualifications. I've always said, if I do what I do for Jesus based on how I feel, I would do nothing for the Lord. Well, is it hard to believe? Y'all got quiet. Like, pen just went ting. No, why? Because we live in this earth suit. But there's no greater joy in life than fulfilling your purpose here on earth. That's why the world is empty. That's why the world has no hope and no joy, because they're not allowing the promises or the dreams of God to be fulfilled through their lives. There's no greater joy that I get here on earth when I can see a marriage restored in this church, when I can see somebody set free from drug addiction and finding out who they are in Christ Jesus, when I can see somebody get a true born-again experience or begin serving in the children's ministry. There's no greater joy. I spent 9 days in Hawaii, and it was fun. I had a blast, but guess what? That wasn't the joy that remains why I'm here on earth. That's fleeting and passing away. My joy is waking up knowing somebody's life is being changed by the power of God. And there's a promise fulfilled over your life that God wants, because it's going to change somebody's life. They're going to see the power of God through you. Amen? God chose you. Acts 13, verse 22 says this. This is about King David, and we all know about David, right? David was a troubled boy. David wasn't the chosen one, and the people wanted a king, and they rose up Saul. Everybody say Saul. They picked Saul because he had, you know, the charisma, and he had the height, and he was the people's people, and so they picked Saul, but we know that ended up not being a good story. So in verse 22, it says, and when he, God, capital H, had removed him, him, talking about Saul, he raised up from them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. See, sometimes God's got to remove the Saul out of your heart. God's got to remove those blockages in your heart. And God wants to get to the true heart of the woman of God, the true heart of the man of God. See, David wasn't perfect. Let me just read a little bit about this awesome king that we talk about that wrote the book of Psalms, right? He committed adultery, murdered, lied, betrayed his nation, made severe mistakes in judgment, and was a poor manager. This is the one that was chosen by God and said, I don't care what David's done or where he's been. I see his heart. See, we eliminate ourselves from God because of those kind of things. We've made mistakes, right? You may have a label on you from the past or whatever has broken your heart, and we feel that disqualifies us. But if anybody was going to be disqualified, it was going to be David. He made a lot of mistakes. I'm like, man, like, I live a pretty good life, you know? I didn't do all that David did, but David had a heart after God. God chose David because he had a heart of worship. See, I believe every one of you here this morning has a heart after God, or you wouldn't be sitting here in church on a Sunday morning. You'd be doing something else, but your heart wants God. See, you have to see that God sees your heart, and that means that he's chosen you because of that. That's all God's looking for is a willing heart, amen? David was faithful tending his sheep when God planted the seed of purpose in his heart. See, David was insignificant in the field while his brothers were being marched before the high priest to become king. He was eliminated, but it was in that time of insignificance. It was in the insignificant season of his life that God put purpose in his heart. See, in the middle of your insignificance, in the middle of where you're wondering where God's at, he wants to speak purpose to your heart. I don't care where you're at today. God wants to awaken his promises in you because he chose you. Amen? And David chose to choose God even amidst all of his mistakes and all of his failures. David even caused a lot of other people pain in his life. But God still never eliminated him. And God hasn't eliminated you. This is a room full of amazing, beautiful believers that God wants to fulfill your desires. And he's not a respecter of persons. It is not one better than the other. It is you. And you have to say, I want what you have for me, God. I'm going to forget about my insignificance, and I'm going to receive what you have for me. Amen? We can be faithfully going about our daily business when God suddenly awakens our heart to a greater purpose. This is my prayer for you. I want God to awaken your heart to a greater purpose in your life so that you wake up tomorrow with meaning. Amen. Wake up with purpose in your life. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says this, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. How powerful is that scripture verse? He's chosen you today. And God wants to awaken those desires. All right, number two, how do we receive the promises of God? God provides for you in the journey towards your promise. God will provide for you whatever you need in this season. Open up to Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. I think I'm going to have it on the screen. When God gives you that promise, he'll give you what you need for that promise to be fulfilled. And in just the next point, I'll give you the how-to, but it says this, now may the God of peace, everybody say peace. See, when you're waiting for your promise to come, God has to give you peace so that you can rest in his promises. Knowing that God is about to perform the miracle, I can rest in his peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. Listen to this, verse 21, equip you with everything good for doing his will. God wants to equip you to walk in the promises of God. That word equip means this. It's so important that you understand God's word. It means to repair your life. It means to mend or restore. Don't raise your hands, but life has taken away some things out of our heart. We have disappointments. We have sorrows. We have regrets. The enemy's beating us up all the time. And he's saying, if you'll know through the blood of Jesus Christ that I've already forgiven you, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to mend you from that broken place, right? With everything to do what? To do his will. See, you come to Christ broken. We come to Christ with pain and shame and all this garbage. But through the blood of Jesus, he begins to heal us. And we have to say, God, you chose me to fulfill a promise in my life. That means you have to heal me so that I can receive your promise. It's time to let go of the brokenness and the pain and the shame and how you feel about yourself. This year, we need to throw that out the door and say, God, equip me to receive your promise. Heal me, restore me. I'm going to let unforgiveness go. I'm going to let abandonment go. I'm going to let regret grow, go. All my fears, it's time to let that go. And it's time to let God. I promise you, this church will not look like this a year from now. I promise you, my life's not going to look the way that it looks right now a year from now, because I want God to equip me. I want to receive all the blessings of God so that I can receive his promises. Amen. That word equip means to strengthen you. In your weaknesses, the Bible says you are strong in Christ. When you are weak, it says he is strong. So in your weaknesses, he wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. You are able to hang on and fight the good fight of faith longer than you realize that you can. God has made you stronger than you realize. Amen. And that's where we say, I'm not going to let go of what God has. He's equipping me. He's changing me. I'm not perfect, but he's perfecting me. Look at David. Messed up big time, but God still chose him. You may be in Christ and still messed up a little bit along the way. Get it under the blood of Jesus, amen? Let that forgiveness begin to flow and then continue to receive what God has for you in your life. Be more than you could ever think or imagine. Listen, when you come to Christ, God makes the man and the woman. God will make you. You don't have to come to Christ perfect. You don't have to come to Christ till you feel like you're here spiritually. You come to Jesus and you give it all to him, and he begins to recreate you. He begins to heal you. He begins to make the man and the woman. I am not the girl I was when I was 20 years old. Thank God. And I don't want to be this same woman 10 years from now. I want God to continually be strengthening me, continually be raising the vision and the dreams and the desires in my life as God wants to do for you. But I tell you what, I know some people who came to Christ when I did, and guess what? They're still right here. They're still angry at God, angry at the church all these years later. Never allow God to equip them, never feeling worthy. You come to Christ as you are, but God changes you. At least we should allow him to change us. And that process isn't always easy, is it? Let me show you something here. Just in leadership training, I used to teach leadership a lot. But in leadership training, that if your job or your what your task or your job is up here and your self-esteem is down here, you'll never reach the goal. You'll never reach it. No matter how much, if your self-worth is low and your job is up here, you'll never attain the job. And that's the same thing with the promises of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. They are way up here, but if your worth is down here, you'll never receive it. But if you begin to change, bring up your worth. My mic's here, so bring up your worth to the promise. Now you see yourself worthy. God said, here's your life, here's the marriage, here's the financial success for the kingdom of God, here's your children serving Jesus, I don't know what it is, here's your joy back. We got to raise up our worth so that we can receive what God has for us and walk in it and continue to maintain it, amen? That's what God has for us. So God will provide for you along the way. All right, let's go to number three. This is probably one of the most important parts of this teaching is number three, you must pursue your promise. I was talking with someone this weekend that we've got to rise up and fight for what God has given us. Let's not lay down and quit and grow weary and get sad about what's not happening. Let's rise up. Let's take our seat of authority, amen? Let's get angry at the devil. Let's turn that weapon that we're blaming somebody else, and let's begin to aim it towards the enemy, amen? And begin to pursue all that God has for your life. There's this saying, you will only chase what you are hungry for. What are you hungry for? I know if I'm craving Grimaldi's pizza. It's like my favorite pizza in the world. If I'm chasing Grimaldi's. I may be too tired to do something else, but as soon as I get this hunger for Grimaldi's, I'm in the car driving all the way to Scottsdale because I like that one better. Takes me 45 minutes to get there, but I'm chasing my hunger till I fulfill it. Amen? What are you hungry for today? Are you hungry for disappointment and fear and failure in that merry-go-round? Are we hungry for the promises of God? Am I hungry for the breakthrough? Do I want my joy back? Do I want my hope back? What are you hungry for? It's time to stir up God in your life. And let me say this too, because maybe some of you, you're like, you know, 25 things, that's a lot from God, you know, and that's okay. Maybe there's two things. Maybe there's one thing you want from God. I want you to take aim at that thing this year. I want you to get hungry for that change. Maybe it's an addiction or a behavior or something that is just keeping you bound up. You're going to have this bulldog faith this year to say, I'm hungry for change. I'm hungry for another level in my life. I remember one year I woke up and I said, man, I need some new shoes. My closet looks kind of like boring shoes. I'm like, this year I'm going to start adding shoes to my collection. No joke, everywhere I went because I had shoes on my mind, I found shoes everywhere. I found cool shoes, high heels, flat shoes. I'm like, man, there's shoes everywhere this year. But I know it's because I decided this year I need some new shoes in my closet. I begin to recognize what I desired when I went places. So what are your desires this year, amen? What do you want from God? When you go out with those desires, you'll begin to recognize the blessings when you see them, and you'll reach out and receive them because it's something that you desire. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it this year? How bad do you want a different life? We can lay down and live the same life and go into 2020, or we can say, this year's going to be different, God. I want it bad enough to change just a little bit of who I am. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Let's go there really quick. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. See, God has given you great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what does that verse mean? God has given you promises over your life, which is in the Word of God. He has given you promises, and he wants you to become a partaker. It means enjoy it with him. He doesn't want you to do it alone. He wants you to come in partnership with him, right? So that you can take on, listen to this, the nature of Christ. When you are walking in the promises of God, it means you're walking in who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to see that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That righteousness means I'm in right standing with God. No matter how I feel, I'm not going to change my stance and who I am. I'm going to partner with the divine nature of Christ Jesus. That means if God has faith, I'm partnering with his faith. If God has power, I'm partnering with his power. That's his divine nature, but you have to see yourself in the same nature of Christ Jesus. Righteousness, listen to this, is not a feeling. It's a fact. It's a fact. You are made righteous in Christ Jesus according to his Son and through the Word of God. It's a fact. It's not how you feel. So we need to take on the nature that I am God's kid. When you know who you are and you go into life fighting that battle, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, there's nothing that can take you down. There's nothing that can discourage you because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And that needs to be the position that you must take in your life. Amen. So we're pursuing the promises of God. That word promise is this, means this. Promise tells us what the promises are from God. What are the promises of God in your life? Those are the things we're going to write down in our journal. What are God's promises in your life, right? Then the second part of that says this, then gives us the assurance that the thing promised will be done. That's the promises of God. So whatever promise you're believing God for, find the word of God and say, that's my promise, it shall be done. According to the what? The word of God. Not according to how I feel. Look at 2 Peter 3, really quick, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. Stop right there for a second. The Lord is not slack. I thought, I'm going to look up this word slack. I mean, I got a pretty good idea what it means, but I wanted to look it up. And the word slack means this, to delay, to be slow or be long. And I looked in that and I went, well, how many feel like God's been a little slack? He's kind of delayed my promise. He's delayed my promise a little bit. It says it doesn't mean he's long at it, doesn't mean he's slow or delayed. And I'm thinking, that's nuts. How does that word mean that? And I realize, according to God, it's not delayed. According to God, it's not too slow. See, God is always right on time. God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows that he needs your faith to be stretched just a little while longer so that you can put your trust in him, and then he'll fulfill that promise in your life. See, God knows what he's doing, amen? And that's when we can throw our hands up in the air and say, God, have your way. I don't know how, when, what it's going to look like, but I know you're going to make me shine. I know you're going to fulfill the promises in my life because you are never too slow. As some would count too slow. As some would count, where's God at? See, God is not slack. God hasn't forgotten you. The promises of God are yes, and they are amen. It is our responsibility. I'm going to pursue those promises of God. When I used to water ski back in the day in the Rock River, when I was younger, and we were out, you know, we'd go out in the middle of wintertime, November in winter Wisconsin, and we would go skiing on that lake, and we'd have to wear the wetsuits, you know, and put them on, and I always ended up going after one of the guys who was, the suit was already cold. Anybody ever put on a cold wetsuit? Am I talking right here? Anyway, that's not even part of my story, but one day the guys thought they would be funny, so I'm skiing, and the rope is taut, right? And I'm skiing, and they decided to be funny and kind of pull me in, you know. They thought it was funny. We all kind of laughed. It didn't affect me as they were giving the slack, but they decided to just let go of the rope. And if anybody's a skier, it's like hitting a cement wall. And I literally hit that wall, and my face went smack down into the water like cement. I was so much pain, took my breath away. See, slackness hurts us. And God's not in the business of hurting you. See, God's not playing games with you. Oh, here, they deserve it. No, they don't. Oh, they came to church today. Well, they didn't go last Sunday. See, God's not like that. God has his promises in store for you, amen? And he has your desires for your life. He's not playing games with you. But guess what? They have to be pursued intentionally. Intentionally. Now, all the men in the place, if you know, if you're single, or maybe how you got your woman, you were probably very intentional about getting her. Well, y'all are quiet today. I don't want a man to pursue me if he ain't intentional. Don't play games with me. I ain't got time for that. I'm a woman of God. I know my worth and value. You better be intentional, right? Give me my worth. But when a man wants something, he knows how to get that thing. He knows how to set up the conversation, how to be suave, where to take her, right? He has an intention to what? Get his promise. And that's the way it should be, guys. You should pursue the woman. Girls, let the men pursue. Okay, that was for free. It's the people watching on Facebook, not you all. I mean, girls, well, this is not a dating, so we'll do that another day, right? But you want to be intentional, so what does that mean? I'm going to get a plan together for my promise. I'm going to get my notebook out this year, and I'm intentional to receive my promise. I'm going to tell the Lord what I want, right? I'm going to prepare myself. If I need to, you know, deal with fear, I'm in Barnes & Noble's reading books on whatever I need to read. I'm listening to teachings online. I'm preparing myself. I'm not going to try to be prepared when the promise comes. I'm going to get ready and be intentional for the promise. Get the word of God in you. Get the teachings in you. Find out what you got to do to be a better person, to remove the doubt and unbelief. Listen, one service is not enough for you to receive your promise. Get God in you. Yeah. Amen. Prepare. Make the sacrifices you need to make. Adjust your life. If you're too busy, slow down. If you're on social media too much, get off of it. Why? I'm adjusting my life. I'm being intentional with God this year. I'm removing all distractions. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about everything that distracts you away from the promise of God. I'm going to be intentional with God. I'm going to remove friends I'm not supposed to have. I'm going to stop dating who I shouldn't be dating. I'm going to get it right with Jesus. I'm going to be intentional that this year is going to change. Amen. Make adjustments. Be obedient to God. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Obey Him. I'm just making sure everybody gets my eye contact. Did you see that? It was like slow and Tony, you watching me? Antonio, I mean. Okay. Antonio, okay. Be obedient, right? Study God's word. Do what you got to do to obtain the blessing of God. Amen. It's time to make some adjustments. Listen, there's times in my walk of faith that God, I can just go and do whatever and it's cool. And then there's times where there's a promise about to happen and I better adjust my life. I better adjust my time. I better adjust my word level, right? I better focus because I want something different this year. And that's when God will fulfill it in your life. I got to wrap up, everybody. This just isn't even right. I know, it's so good. Okay, let me do one more verse. I'll leave you with something kind of comical, okay? Let's go to Genesis 18. I'm going to close up. This is still on pursuing your promise from God. I want to go to Genesis 18. As you know, the last couple Sundays, I talked a little bit about Abraham, right? And Abraham, God spoke he'd be a father of many nations, and he was old man. Well, something we never talked about was Sarah and how Sarah felt about this whole situation. So in Genesis 18, in verse, 10, and I guess I can read it from the screen. And he said, this is God visiting Abraham with the promise. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. In other words, I'm going to make you fruitful again, Abraham. You're old. Not fruitful. I'm going to give your time back. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Listen to this. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Everybody ever think about that? God showed up. She's listening. I always thought of Sarah like being this great faith, but I forgot this part of the story. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Stop right there really quick. How can the promise be fulfilled? That's the question. We have all these fill-in-the-blanks. Why? It's not happening. What happened to Sarah on the other side of the tent? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I bring pleasure? My Lord being old also? Now listen, the promise of God came, and Sarah laughed at the promise. It's impossible. It's never going to happen. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely, I shall surely bear a child since I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? See, before we read more, Sarah laughed. See, the promises that you want are almost laughable. How could it ever happen? How could you have a prosperous life when you grew up in poverty? How could you have a good marriage when all you've seen is broken marriages or had a broken marriage? How could you be promoted at your job when you're not even educated? We have all these things that are impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We serve an impossible God. God wants to take you places that you never imagined. And laugh. She like laughed like, right? I would have loved to heard that laugh or be there with her. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh. This cracks me up. She's talking to God. No, God, you're wrong. I didn't laugh. For she was afraid, and he said, no, but you did laugh. See, God knows. God knows your insecurities. God knows your fear. But God doesn't care about those things. He's saying, why do you laugh? Why does it seem too big? Nothing is impossible for me. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet, everybody. Let's get you out of here. We'll visit this next week. How's that sound? Finish it up a little bit. How many is excited? How many is starting to get their desires awakened, their dreams awakened? Man, there are some testimonies coming, I promise you, for your life. There are great things coming in store for you, and I'm ready for them to happen for you too, amen? want to give everyone the opportunity that's new here today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's the whole reason why we're here today is that you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. And only the Holy Spirit brings the conviction of sin, not man, only the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you this morning just to check your hearts with God. Are you right with God today? Only you know and only God knows. No man can be the judge of that. And I'm going to ask you today to submit to Him. Submit to His voice, not me, not my opinion, but to God. And make Jesus the Lord of your life. Come as you are today. Give your life to Jesus. He'll figure everything else out. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way, but it's our job to receive the gift of salvation. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you will be saved. That's all it takes is a confession. It doesn't say be super spiritual or know your Bible or be perfect. It says confess with your mouth. I need Jesus. So I'm going to ask all of us this morning to say this prayer together for someone who may be just getting it right with God or saying it for the first time. I want you to have so much courage today to say yes to Jesus. Just repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my heart. Make me whole. Let me know you and your voice. I surrender all today. In Jesus' name. With all eyes still closed, if you said that prayer this morning, maybe for the first time or just coming back to Jesus, and you meant it with all of your heart, lift your hand up all over this room. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everywhere, thank you, thank you. So many people coming to Jesus. So many people getting it right with the Lord. Father, we thank you for the seal of salvation in every heart. We thank you for the forgiveness and the remission of sin, Lord God. Let that born-again experience arise within them, Lord God. Let them feel lifted today. Let them feel free today by the Holy Spirit. Father, we're always careful to give you the praise and glory. I would like all the pastors and elders to come forward right now, if you will. I'll come down right after. Those of you that want prayer for anything, when I dismiss, make your way forward. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we are a Spirit-filled church, amen. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on down, we want to pray for you for that baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever you have need of today, we are here for you. So let me bless you, pray over you, and release you. Father, we thank you this morning for all that you've done and all that you're doing in every heart, every family. Lord, release them by the blood of the Lamb. Put a hedge of protection around them. Let them feel your joy and your hope and your peace today. And we're careful to give you the praise and you the glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. God bless you. Love you.